And joining us now from the Rail, Tram and Bus Union is Stuart Prinz to give us the latest update on what they have planned and their feelings on the cancellation. Stuart, good morning.
Good day, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning. Now, looking at that decision we mentioned last week, how did you feel about the Fair Work Commission legally compelling the union to cancel today's planned industrial action?
We were surprised and shocked, Sean, because it wasn't something we really saw coming. The industrial action that was planned for today is something that our members weren't going to do lightly. It's very rare for rail workers to take this sort of industrial action in New South Wales. But they did so within the law. They took they had to apply for it to the Fair Work Commission. They had to go through a ballot process. They voted on it, and it was the ballot received a fairly significant yes vote. So everything was done within the law. You only have a narrow window of opportunity during enterprise negotiations where you can do this sort of thing. So we were surprised when the government challenged the proposed strike to the Fair Work Commission, and the Fair Work Commission came down and not only said that, not only gave an order to withdraw the strike, but also to withdraw the other industrial action, which was the overtime ban and even our members wearing badges on the network.
Yeah, the overtime ban has been one that you guys have been sort of pulling off for a while now. I think it's left a few people surprised at just how much the system was actually relying on overtime. So in itself, has that been a fairly significant factor of the industrial action the union's been taking?
Well, it shouldn't be. I think that's the point. A ban on overtime should only have a minor impact on the running of the network, but it's, as everyone has seen, it's actually had a major impact. And in fact, the Sydney Trains has had to run on a weekend timetable. And what that shows is that the system, as it is currently set up, is overly reliant on workers doing excessive amounts of overtime and being called back into work when they're on rostered days off. And that's something that we are very concerned about, and something that we're trying to resolve through these enterprise negotiations, because when you have staff working such long hours and getting such little rest between shifts, we argue that that then becomes a safety risk, and you're putting the lives of workers and indeed passengers at risk if you're having people working on a system who are fatigued or not able to concentrate properly.
Well, looking at most of the mainstream coverage of this issue, as it were, most of the debate has been focused on the union aiming for a pay rise, which the state government has gone and said, well, no, that's excessive. We'll offer you a pay rise of slightly less than half that annually. But most of the discussion has been around whether rail workers will get this pay rise or not. And yet, would you say that the overtime factors have been a significant factor that's been overlooked?
Yeah, well, in the end, I mean, these sorts of negotiations don't come down to just one thing. So it's understandable that the public discussion has tended to drift towards the pay issue. But for us, there are really three issues at stake. And the first one is pay, the second one is job security, and the third one is safe staffing. And in a way, they're interrelated. Certainly, the job security issue is related to safe staffing, because if people don't think that they have a future, that they're likely to get retrenched or their jobs will be outsourced, then they're more likely to seek opportunities elsewhere, and that's part of the reason why we have a turnover in the workforce with Sydney Trains and New South Wales Trains. And that's also related to pay, because, for example, our train drivers get $20,000 less as their base salary here in New South Wales than what they do in Queensland and Victoria. So we've got a situation where our train drivers are looking interstate and seeing, well, I can get a better deal elsewhere, so why should I be penalised $20,000 just for working in New South Wales? And when you have that degree of turnover, when you can't replace them, that then exacerbates the problems that I was talking about in regards to staffing of the network and a safe level of staff so that people don't have to work overtime.
Speaking of the future of careers in this particular arena, I know Andrew Constance has made some comments. The New South Wales Transport Minister, Andrew Constance, he's made some comments regarding driverless trains, driverless buses in the future. One interesting quote, as a Liberal minister, I'm not going to have to deal with the rail union anymore because we're going to have driverless trains here starting in 2019. What's your reaction to those kind of comments?
Those sort of comments have really poisoned the well, if you like, in terms of creating an environment of mistrust between the government and its workforce in Sydney Trains and New South Wales Trains and across the bus and tram network as well. So when you have workers who see these sorts of comments, they worry about their futures, they worry if they will have a job beyond the life of this agreement. And I think that has really added a sense. It's made the negotiations more difficult because, quite frankly, a lot of our members are angry and they're worried, and they're worried that this government is going to cut their jobs at some point in the next few years, and that feeds into this, as I said, this environment of mistrust, which certainly hasn't helped things.
And just as a final point, Stuart, what can you actually tell us about any planned action for the future? Does the union have any plans for industrial action in the near future?
Well, the Fair Work Commission has effectively tied our hands behind our back. So industrial legally, we can't take industrial action for the next 6 weeks. So that means we'll be going back into negotiations and doing as much as we can to try and resolve this in those negotiations with the state government. But if that doesn't fail, then there's the potential. If those negotiations fail, there is the potential for industrial action to be back on the table from the 6th of March. So we could be in a Groundhog Day situation, Sean, where we just sort of go through this again. But we do want to resolve this. We don't want to keep our members stuck in limbo. We want to get to an outcome and keep working towards that.
Well, Stuart, appreciate you speaking to us this morning.
Great, no worries, Sean. Thanks.